clap over it, listen.
Say about two interesting Gemaras I just thought of. I just thought of them. The Gemaras have been around for a while, but Parshas Vayetzeh is a book of names, and you see that names are very iconic. They're very formative. People are named not just arbitrarily. The people are named based on events surrounding their birth, hopes that people have, that the parents have as they're being born. And Reuven is named because HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to Leah's suffering. And Shimon, he hears Leah's suffering, Shama Hashem. When it comes to Yehuda, she's thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Gemara says in Brachos, Lo haya adam shehoda HaKadosh Baruch Hu at shaba Leah ve'amra hapam odes Hashem. Very interesting. No one ever thanked Hashem until Leah. Now we read Parshas Vayetzeh, six or seven Parshas into the Torah, but keep in mind this is about 2,500 years into history. It's hard to imagine that no one thanked Hashem for 2,500 years. The male of the people of Stone can understand they were a little bit insensitive, they were a little cruel. Maybe the Dor HaFlaga, but it's hard to imagine that no human being ever felt the need. Hakaras HaTov is such an important trait. You know, Rabbeinu Bechaye, who wrote the Sefer Chovas HaLevavos, felt that recognizing, thanking people, showing gratitude is the core trait. It'll lead you to theology. It'll lead you to recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sometimes it's hard for us to thank people because we admit our dependency. It's easier not to thank people and to spin the myth of invulnerability, of independence, of self-potential. Stalin once said that gratitude is a sickness suffered by dogs because he didn't want to. Gratitude and obedience, because only dogs have to be grateful. He was trying to build an independent, strong human being. And of course, much of, if not everything that Stalin said is morally corrupt, morally bankrupt. You know, you don't want to hold Stalin as your moral example. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so important to thank people. Al Nishmat Seinu, there's a very famous story. I think it was with Rav Shach. Rav Shach was, someone had donated money to the yeshiva, and Rav Shach was sitting and learning, and he was sending messages back to this person who had come to visit him. Just all whatever arrangements, I may be muffing the story a little bit, but the core of the story, at some point, after Rav Shach had sent all the messages to this person, because he was too busy learning, he didn't want to waste his time, and there was messengers carrying the message back and forth to this person, Rav Shach said, but now tell him to come in. Person came in, Rav Shach said, personally, thank you, or, you know, whatever he said, he wanted to thank him personally. So the Shamash said, you send all the messages to people. He said, when it comes to saying thank you, there's a mitzvah to do it begufo, not through a shliach. How do you know? Because of modim derabanan. Because derabanan or misakein, that we shouldn't listen to the modim of the shliach tzibur and think about how the shliach tzibur is thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for us. We should thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu personally, even to the point of inserting something into Shemon Esrei. It's not really part of Shemon Esrei. Derabanan or misakein, that when the shliach tzibur thinks thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we should say a personal thank you. It's important to try to realize your dependency and be grateful to, you know, the reason I thought of this is because it's Thanksgiving tonight, and it's a time when many people are thinking about those in their world that they want to be thankful and grateful for. And so many of the Yom Tovim and the holidays and Chutzlars in America, a lot of Americans here, really are either empty morally or in some ways laced with religious flavor, which it should be avoided at all costs, certainly. Those that are more latently and overtly religious. But Thanksgiving really is a holiday in which it really does pay for us to think carefully about who we are to be thankful for, who we're to be grateful for. Obviously, to the Rabbanu Shalom Al-Chayin, Ha-Misur Mi-Yadecha, Al-Shmaseinu, Bukutislach, Ve'al-Nisecha, Shibachayim, Imanu, Erev, Avok, Vitzarayim, and just living through the last week and living through the last 10, 15 years in Eretz Yisrael, when you calculate the number of missiles that have fallen on our country. And obviously, we do not even tolerate the shedding of 1 ounce of blood, and we're not happy, we're not grateful, we want to try to protect ourselves as much as possible. But the amount of missiles, the amount of people that have been injured or killed, the ratios are so small. And Baruch Hashem, we feel like with all of our technology and with all of our attempts to defend ourselves, Baruch Hashem, the Rabbanu Shalom is Hanota Shemayim. He's the Kadosh Baruch Hu made the Shemayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu made the Rakia. He's certainly not going to let the Arabs or the terrorists hijack the Rakia to attack his people. He's not going to let the terrorists. So it's hard to imagine that no one ever thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu before Leah. I can't take that Gemara at face value. He's the first person to wake up and say thank you. The answer is as follows. It's easy to be grateful when things really are ideal. and especially where they were really dangerous and critical and frustrating. And there's a complete turnaround, and all of a sudden, the world is shining, the world is bright, everything is in line, everything is in sync, and me'afeilu liyara, mi'shiba l'gula, me'eva liyamtov, these 180s in life, we were really afraid, we really didn't know what we'd score on the test, and all of a sudden we scored 100. We really had a problem in our relationship, and all of a sudden, miraculously, we really had a problem in our lives. But what happens as is more frequent and more common, where our life changes at the margins, and the changes are subtle, and even after we receive whatever we've been anticipating, it's not all perfect, it's not all ideal, it's not all smooth sailing. Life is very often less dramatic and less 180, and more often slight changes and slight adjustments. And even when our life changes and improves, and even when our Kodesh Baruch Hu sends us a response, we still have struggles, we still have obstacles, we still have issues in our life. That's what Leah was facing. It's not as if after all of a sudden bearing Yehuda, Yaakov threw his hands up, now I realize the error of my ways, now I realize that Leah is my chosen wife, I'm going to abandon Rachel and spend time only with Leah. Nothing could be further from the truth. You read the continuation of Vayetze, there's still a struggle, there's still an issue of where Yaakov will reside at night. The struggle continues, and Leah realizes she will never be Yaakov's beloved romantic. It will never happen. No matter how hard she tries, she will never enjoy the romance with Yaakov that her sister Rachel has. It's quite evident from the beginning there's a chemistry between Rachel and Yaakov. But she's grateful for what she has. She's grateful that even though she can't play that role, at least she won't be the detested one. She won't be held in contempt. She'll have her role. She'll do hers. She can't argue against the fate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given her. But within that fate, she'll excel and she'll be the best Leah she can be. And so often in life, it takes us a while to hit that groove. We spend so much time arguing against the fate we have, and so little time just taking the framework that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us and being great within that framework. And the second you hit that groove in life, you just say, this is what Hashem made me. This is my tafkid in life, and these are the strengths I have, and I'm not going to be an imposter and parade around as something that I'm not. And I'm poised. I know what I do well. I know what I don't do well. I'm going to try to be the best me that I can, rather than mimic other people, and then do it really well. That's what made Leah's gratitude so stunning. It's all not all of a sudden in Parshas Vayetze, all of a sudden her son Yehuda is born, and Yaakov now acknowledges, I was terribly wrong and terribly mistaken, and I'm going to love you deeper than... No, Yaakov still has this feeling for Rachel that Leah can never overcome. But Leah says, at least I'll play my role as the matron of the family, as the bearer of at least four children, and as fate would have it, and as the Parsha unfolds, even more. And it's really that potential in life to be grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to other people, because gratitude is not just a agenda, it's also a morally formative experience. The more gratitude you feel, the better a person you are, even when life isn't perfect, even when you have struggles, to find the little things in life to be grateful for. I'm not going to be here at Vayeshev, so I'm going to be in Chutzlar, so I'll give you a little bit of a preview of what I would have said on Vayeshev on the Sunday night. So we'll fuse the Thursday night and the Sunday night. It's a beautiful medrash. When Yosef is sold to the Arabs, to the merchants, taking him down to Mitzrayim, so the pasuk says that the merchants were carrying nechos, sri, velot. They're carrying peanuts, nuts, perfumes, other sweet-smelling odors. And Rashi says, shows how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of the tzaddikim. And normally, what do Arabs carry? What do these merchants normally carry down to Mitzrayim? Tanning agents, foul-smelling, terrible bleach, who knows what. All of a sudden, these merchants who hijacked Yosef, they were carrying nuts, fruits, and deodorant. Are you kidding me? This is, Yosef should be smiling at Kodesh Baruch. I've been kidnapped. I'm bound and gagged. I've got a golf ball in my mouth. I'm never going to see home again. Been sold by my brothers. I've been bitten by the snakes. Hashem's really taking care of Yosef HaTzadik. It's like saying your flight was hijacked and you're rerouted to Iran. But don't worry, the food, great food on the flight. Great movies. It was great entertainment. Yosef being hijacked. Was he being thankful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? There's great food on the hijack. The answer is sometimes you understand the master plan and the broader calculus and the larger realities of life. And sometimes the world makes a lot of sense to you, and your world is in sync, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you everything you want, and you really wake up and you say Hallel to Hashem, Lahagid Baboker Chastecha. You feel like Kadosh Baruch Hu has really given me a lot, my parents, my family, my world, my yeshiva, my Rebbe, of course. You really feel very thankful to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Sometimes the broader equation doesn't really make sense to you. Sometimes the night overshadows the day. The darkness shrouds the light. And you can't make sense. But it doesn't mean you should stop trying to see Hashem even in the details. At that point, Yosef couldn't make sense of his condition. Hashem had a master plan. Netter says, everyone was busy in their own little narrow, myopic field of vision. Yaakov was crying over his presumed lost son Yosef, and Yehuda was deviating and wandering to Timnah and falling into a dark place. You know what happened in Vayeshev to Yehuda, and Yosef was being kidnapped, and the brothers are celebrating their triumph. Everyone's involved in their own little myopic world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very, very carefully weaving together the strands of Geula. And everyone is where they have to be. Yosef is where he has to be. Yaakov is where he has to be. You just never know. I can promise you this week, I don't know how, and it's a frustrating week, and really, even though there's a ceasefire, you're walking away, what did we really accomplish? What can we accomplish? What will happen in 2 years, in 5 years, or 2 weeks, in 3 weeks? All I can tell you is that Kadosh Baruch Hu was carefully weaving Geula. What happened this week is clearly part of Geula. What happened in Mitzrayim over the last year is clearly part of Geula. What happened to Syria, it's obvious that Kadosh Baruch Hu is shaking, is creating political turmoil, and things are happening. So I can't tell you, I can't see the whole fabric. These tapestries are too large for the human eye to gaze upon. They're miles and miles, and my eye can only sense yards and yards. I can't sense the entire expanse of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But what Yosef could sense is Hashem is there for him and looking at him through the cracks in that larger, larger picture. And Hashem is there. You know, they once asked Rav Amital, Zichron Levracha, someone came over to him, someone who had lost their emunah, who hadn't possessed the emunah to begin with in the Holocaust, because Rav Amital would always tell us that anyone that went to the Holocaust with strong emunah emerged unscathed. And the people that lost their emunah in the Holocaust, at least he was telling us, are basically people who were iffy to begin with. And the Holocaust was, so to speak, the straw that broke the camel's back. I don't know if it's true or not. That was his sense. So someone once asked him to challenge him, you're a believer, you're a Mamun Bashem, where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu during the Holocaust? And you know what Rav Amital answered? He was right with us in Auschwitz. I don't know if he said Auschwitz or his concentration camp. What do you mean he was with you in Auschwitz? Smokestacks, crematoria, gas chambers, barbed wire, electrocutions. Can't make sense of all that. But I'm sure they felt that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the daily chesed that people did for one another, the mitzvahs that they saw people still passionately perform, the pride that people had in their Judaism, the hopes they had for Eretz Yisrael. And that's what the Gemara means about Leah. Hapam odes Hashem. It's hard for Leah. It's not a thanks where she's singing hallel. She's coughing. She's crying. There's a part of her that feels torn to bits. Nothing is perfect, and by and large, nothing for her, and nothing for everyone in this room will ever be perfect. When you're young, you sometimes think, I'm going to work and work and work and work and work and put my best foot forward, and it's all just going to be perfect, and then I'll reach the promised land, figuratively, and then everything will just be smooth sailing, everything will just be harmonious. And I don't want to bust anyone's bubble, but it doesn't really happen in life. And when it doesn't happen, you have to have the capacity to appreciate the things you have, harp upon those, not be jealous that other people have more or different from you, not be frustrated by what you don't have, but focus. It sounds cliche, but believe me, it's very, very hard emotionally to take the positives that Ribbono Shel Olam gave you, make the most out of them, succeed with all the potential he gave you, and not always wonder why I was born into this family, in this country, this type of person, these skills. I'm smarter, I'm less smart, I've got more of what I said, I'm more Yitar in my background. Whatever traits Hashem gave you is for a purpose, and when things happen, and don't always lock into sync or lock into step the way you expected them, think about Leah. Hapam odes Hashem. At this point, Leah says, I have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She doesn't have a very promising future in certain areas. In other areas, she realizes, and that's why Chazal recognized, it's very easy to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, this miraculous 1967 type of situation. What about in Leah's case? What about this week, thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu? This could have been a very, very, very bloody week. Could have been a very, very difficult week. Somehow, whatever was accomplished, it's hard for us to know. Lives were spared. Our chayilim were all returning home. You can imagine what Shabbos would have been like for dozens of families if things had been a little bit different. Again, I don't even know. Some people feel like we should have continued the operation. So At the very least, we know that there are hundreds of families that will be sitting on the Shabbos table, either with the children or with the knowledge that their children are safe. And we'll continue on and do our best, and not to get too overwhelmed, not to have undue expectations as if all of a sudden our place in Eretz Yisrael will be assured instantly and convincingly. It's a long struggle. Ashrechem v'tov lachem, that you are part in your own little way of that struggle. Ashrechem v'tov lachem, that you were here this week. Whatever you did, being the base matters, davening, saying Tehillim, having an extra mishmar, having an extra tefillah, or at the very least, just staying here. And your uncles and aunts who were afraid and called up your parents, why isn't he coming home? Or your parents' co-workers, why is your son still in Israel? At the very, very least, you prove to this world that this is our land. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu began Bereishis, Bereishis Bara Elokim, in order to remind people that this is his land, he created this earth. Whoever he gives Eretz Yisrael to, he'll decide to give Eretz Yisrael to. Shalom, shalom.